Good morning. I'm just trying out my voice for you. This is the day that we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit in power for the first time, the official birthday of the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's one reason to have cake. So I hope you'll all be able to stay afterwards, have tea, coffee, chat to each other, and enjoy some Pentecost birthday cake. Throughout the Bible, when God brings about something new, it's accompanied by praise and by singing. If you go back and look at the start of creation, the birth of the universe, we read the morning stars sang together. That I, for one, would love to hear the song of morning stars. And when Jesus was born, the birth of Jesus was announced by heavenly song. Angels sang to the glory of God, as you read in Luke 2. And when God created his church, at its birth, we hear God being glorified with people singing, praising him in tongues, in foreign languages. This is a day for us to celebrate. Last week, if you were here, you'll have heard Alan talking about the believers praying together. For 9 days, holed up in a room together, praying, crying out for God for him to move. This morning we hit day 10. Still the believers are gathered praying. But they aren't alone in Jerusalem. It's the festival of weeks or harvest. It's 50 days after Passover, hence the name Pentecost. And Jews have gathered from all over the known world. They've come to Jerusalem to visit the temple and to make sacrifices. Jerusalem is humming, full of people, and in the midst of the crowds, the believers meet. Lal is going to come up and read to us this morning's passage. Thanks, Lal.
This is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 10 in the morning, 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Thanks, Lam. The account that Lal has just read is the beginning of the church, where the promised Holy Spirit comes in power, the believers receive the Spirit, and they are equipped to go out into the world to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. This, which we're remembering this morning, is the church being powered up, being fired up, and ready to be sent out on mission. I was thinking about what we can learn about the Holy Spirit from this passage. And it reveals the work of the Holy Spirit and shows me, shows all of us, how we can know him more and how we can love him. So I'm going to take you through five things that I have discovered just reading through the passage this morning. And the first one is the signs. The Holy Spirit comes with signs. The first one's the sound of the violent wind, or the blowing of a violent wind, filling the house, and what seems to be tongues of fire resting on each one of the believers. The passionate, desperate prayers that we heard about last week, the prayers of the believers have been answered. They have waited, and they have seen God move. The Holy Spirit moved in this room on an expectant people, very dramatic for those involved and for those who watched on. Is that drama just for them? Is it not for us now? I want to read a passage to you. Some of you will begin to recognize very quickly where I'm referring to. The meetings were hard in the beginning, so increased prayer was required, and the praying men of the district rallied round. They gathered in a large home for an extended period of prayer. The meeting was making heavy weather, and prayers were not flowing freely. It was a hard battle as one after another attempted to break through in prayer. Sometime after midnight, Duncan Campbell asked John Smith, the blacksmith, to pray. He had not prayed all night. He rose, prayed for some time, and then said, "Lord, I do not know how Mr. Campbell or any of these other men stand with you, but if I know my own heart, I know that I am thirsty. You have promised to pour water on him that is thirsty. If you don't do it, how can I ever believe you again? Your honor is at stake. You are a covenant-keeping God. Fulfill your covenant engagement." It was a prayer from a man who was walking with God. At that moment, the house shook. Someone next to Mr. Campbell said to him, "Mr. Campbell, an earthquake." The next day, they were to discover that no other house shook. It was a mighty moment that Donald MacPhail remembers, for he was sitting on the crowded stairs beside two unsaved neighbours, Christina Campbell, number 33, Donald MacLeod, number 31. They had been dozing, but in a moment they were wide awake under deep conviction of sin. They began to cry for mercy. In fact, Christina wept and cried aloud for help. Both were saved that very night. Campbell pronounced the benediction, and they left the meeting to discover that at that hour, the people were moving across to the meeting hall. Some were carrying chairs, wondering if there'd be enough room for them. Torchlight shone in the darkness as the folk moved towards the hall. God had stepped into a scene that seemed so hard and difficult. The move of the Spirit in Arnall had begun. Oh, that someone would once feel the need to write such a book about Glasgow, about White Inch Church. But that book, that has come from a book, and The Sound of Heaven, Revival in Lewis in the 1940s and the early 50s. And I love that the key to the Spirit coming at Pentecost is that the same as it was at Lewis. The key is a hungry heart that knows who God is and knows that he has made a promise to his children and that he will keep it. That was true at Pentecost. It was true for Lewis, for every other move of the Spirit around the world, and true for us here today too. As a brand new Christian, I found myself at the Church of Scotland's last healing conference many years ago now. The main speaker is a lady called Anne Watson, the widow of David Watson, who some of you may have heard his name, as a leading charismatic in the Church of England before his untimely death. Anne, his widow, also had a healing ministry, and I sat under her teaching for a short time. She taught us, look out for signs that the Spirit is moving, and then get yourself there quick. It wasn't rushing winds. It wasn't tongues of fire that she saw. There was no shaking houses. But she did see, in the middle of a sanctuary, quiet evidence of the Spirit at work. Then, when she did, she simply scrambled, went straight there. No walking down the aisle and across the pews. She would leap over one pew to the next to get to where that person was to pray with them and minister to them. Despite her heels and her dress and being well into her 60s, she would scramble over the pews. Such was her love for God, her joy at seeing him work in people's lives, bringing healing and restoration. The Holy Spirit announces his presence with signs. Sometimes they're big, sometimes more subtle, so often in the silence, but he does not leave us flailing around in the dark. The second thing I noticed, the Spirit descended on everyone in the room and changed them. We may be limping along with a lukewarm faith, but a move of the Spirit revives us, brings us back to life, brings to life that which has faded, increases our faith and enables us to carry on. And that is what Pentecost is about, a supernatural reviving of those believers. God knew they needed it to do what he had called them to do, to go to make disciples of all nations. God knew they couldn't do it alone. And so the disciples are given a source of power. We have that same source of power, that same source available to the first church is ours today too. The same gift of speaking in tongues that was given out at Pentecost is offered to all believers today too. Many here in this church already have that gift to be able to praise God, to worship, to intercede in a tongue or a language that's not your own. God is generous with his gifts. He gives to all that who ask. And perhaps this morning is a day for you to dare to ask for gifts. And if that is you, come forward for prayer later. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is kind of restricted to a special few, some kings, prophets, and a few priests. But Peter speaks out the words from the prophet Joel and says this about the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. All men and women, be they servants, slaves, or kings, all, say that after me, all, glad you're awake, will have the Spirit poured out on them, and they will be able to prophesy. Peter tells us that Pentecost is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy in Joel. There is an invitation to everyone. God wants to pour the Holy Spirit into your lives. That same power available in the first church, I repeat, is available for you today. If you don't think that you see that power in your life, if you had it and you feel you've lost it, if there's something blocking your sense that you are walking in God's power, then come and get prayer afterwards. If you aren't yet a follower of Jesus, this message is for you. Today, we celebrate the church's birthday, and you are invited to join the party. There is no better day than to choose to become a follower of Jesus. If you feel a stirring in your heart, come speak to somebody, one of the prayer team afterwards. The third thing, the Holy Spirit attracts seekers. Okay, so we've got a building. Believers are speaking in tongues. They're speaking in different languages and dialects. Jews who are in Jerusalem for the festival hear the noise. They recognize all these accents, the different languages, and they're attracted by the commotion. They gather around. They're curious, full of questions. What does this mean? Why is this happening? Are they drunk? Spirit-filled people attract the attention of others. People look on, curious, and want to know more. And they're the seekers that I'm talking about. Our friends, our family, our neighbors. They all know there's a spiritual dimension to this world, but not much more. They're willing to explore in any way they can. And this is where we can provide support and direction for speakers. I see we have in the chairs the spiritual fair. An opportunity to speak out, to reach out, to speak in the same language as the people who come to you. If you're not willing to be involved in it, then pray for such events. But who are the seekers in your life? The low-hanging fruit, ripe, ready to take the next step in a walk of faith. How can you support them? Just like these men heard the believers speaking in their own language, I would encourage you to do the same. Whether you're sitting down with a distressed neighbor, speaking the gospel in a simple and winsome way, or you're chatting to someone who needs hope, someone who has landed at a spiritual fair, we have the chance, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to make Jesus known in dark places. Just as language was not a barrier to the Spirit-filled believers, so we, under the power of the Spirit, can leave this place and speak the same language as those seekers that we meet. We are the people of God. We carry the Spirit of DNA within us. That same power that was in the early believers is ours too. The description of what we read and what Lal read for us, the sermon. The Holy Spirit, we have some believers gathered in a room. We have some curious people around the outside looking onwards. There's some prayer, there's some praising of God, some reading of God's word that actually sounds very like the structure of a church service. And it actually sounds very much like the structure of this church, Sunday by Sunday. And just as this Sunday it gets to the preaching, so at that first Pentecost it gets to the preaching. We see the beginnings of the church right here at Pentecost, and the entire event is led by the Spirit. Just as amazing, 2,000 years later, the same Spirit drives us and keeps us focused in the mornings. And that leads me to Peter's sermon. Look what happened to Peter. This is Peter who put his foot in it so often with Jesus. The same Peter who denied Jesus 3 times and hid ashamed. The same Peter finds himself turned from Peter the coward to Peter the preacher. He stands on his feet. He makes the most of the questions from the bemused crowd, and suddenly, by the power of the Spirit, he is transformed into preacher. He speaks out a first sermon of the new church, one that encourages, builds up the faith of the believers there, one that convicts those that don't know Jesus. He finds himself in front of a large, multicultural crowd, none of them knowing Jesus. And he takes the opportunity to say to them, to explain how Jesus is both Lord and Christ. And 3,000 are added to the church that day after one short sermon. The Holy Spirit empowers Peter to stand up and speak. It isn't the messenger, it is the message that matters. This isn't about Peter, it's about the Spirit that inspires the words from his mouth and uses them. For me, that is enormously reassuring. I stand here in front of a church community that has had many experienced, gifted preachers, experienced preachers over many, many years. Many of them have actually been involved in moves of the Spirit throughout the world. And yet this morning, White Inch Church, Pentecost, where we remember the day 3,000 came to faith, the day of the coming of the Holy Spirit, you get me. Can you see how I might have allowed myself to become intimidated by that? Can you see how I might have had an occasional wobble in this past week? But actually, over the past week, I've had to remind myself, it isn't the messenger, it is the message. This isn't about me, it's about Jesus. And what we need to do is to stand back and let God do his work. And just as it's true for me, it's true for each one of you who may occasionally find yourself in a meeting with someone, in a large setting, a group, where you're suddenly overwhelmed by what God has asked you to do. It isn't about you then either, is it? It is the message that matters. It is the standing back and let the Spirit do the work. Whether we're speaking to a gathering of 10,000 or whether we have one toddler sitting on our knee. The message is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. And I declare to you, just as Peter did, Jesus is the Lord and the Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Peter's words then are as valid to us today. And that leads to my last point. We've had signs, Spirit seeker sermon, and the final word I have for you, a great one is saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 21, God uses the prophet Joel to give us such good news. Here it is again. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When God hears the prayers of a passionate and hungry people, he will respond. He can't help it. It's who he is. And last week, we heard testimony after testimony of how God was working in our lives. Salvation, we heard stories of healing, provision, breakthrough in relationships. But also that desperation that we have for God to act. Alan talked about it last week. The heart for the lost. Our friends, our family, those we live with who don't know Jesus. That drive to prayer is a gift from the Spirit too. A week or two after I became a Christian, I was introduced to a lady in my local church who walked her dog past my house every day and prayed for us to come to faith. For 8 years, Catherine, a stranger to me, she lived streets away, right? Prayed for, as she put it, the nice young couple who lived there. We were younger then. 8 years, prompted by the Holy Spirit to pray for two strangers. And she did. How awesome is God? This past week, the Church of England has had a week of prayer. I don't know if any of you have even come into your radar at all or not. Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, wrote to every Anglican church around the world, encouraging them to join in. Prayer rooms have been set up in many churches, and the prayer stations have all been based around the Lord's Prayer. So it was great to see that we chose to sing this morning the song based around the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in Heaven. But common to every church has been the suggestion that we pray for people to be saved. I'm going to ask if a video could come up. And this is by Pete Gregg. Oh, there we go. I'll keep quiet and let him speak.
There was a great preacher called D.L. Moody who had 100 friends who didn't know Jesus that he prayed for every day. And when one of them became a Christian, he had just ticked their name off the list. By the time he died, 96 of those 100 had given their lives to Jesus. And at his funeral, the final four also became Christians. There's such power in praying for our friends who don't yet know Jesus. In not just doing it once in a while or when we feel like it, but regularly persevering with discipline. And so I'm going to tie these 5 knots in this leather strap and wear it to remind myself of just 5 friends I know who I long to come to know the good news of Jesus.
I have the bands, the leather straps that Pete Gregg spoke about. We'll have easily enough to go around the room. And I've got 2 very glamorous assistants. James and Lal are going to pass it out as we have coffee at the end. But I'd encourage you, this is a day to celebrate. This is Pentecost, the day of the birth of the church. The church started in prayer. All of us here will come and are here because of the prayers of someone else. And I would encourage you today to consider taking one of these bands, tying knots in it, one representing each person that you want to pray for. Now, whether you turn it into a key ring, I have to say, it's rather a large bracelet. It'll probably go around my foot, actually. You'd need to play about with it to make it a bracelet. Maybe you're more talented than I am. Make it into a bookmark, a key ring, something that you see regularly to prompt you. But take that away and remember, pray for other people, because it is only through prayer, it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we will each be able to be equipped to go from this place, to go out, to make disciples of all nations, to carry out the mission that God has called each one of us to do. The power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost is available for us today and always. Come to him. Ask him for more for yourself, for your family, and for this nation. Amen.